Wednesday, January 30th, 2019. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City here in Denver, Colorado, and we are back for another day of talking sports with a dose of common sense. Happy Wednesday to you. You know, January 30th is actually a pretty important day in sports history. I know that we think a lot about streaks in sports. We especially think about winning streaks in sports. For example, the record for the longest winning streak in the NFL is held by the New England Patriots. They won 20 games in a row in 2003 and 2004. The 2017 Cleveland Indians won 22 games in a row. The 1971-72 Los Angeles Lakers won 33 games in a row. They have now held that record in the NBA for nearly 50 years. And the Oklahoma Sooners set the longest college football win streak with 47 straight wins from 1953 to 1957. But on January 30th, 1971, the UCLA Bruins were coming off of a loss in their previous game to Notre Dame. On this day, they beat UC Santa Barbara and started an unprecedented 88-game win streak. They didn't lose again until January 19th, 1974. 3 full years. Once again, Notre Dame beat them again, but from 66 to 73, UCLA went 205-5. They won the national championship 7 years straight. Hey, those numbers are never, ever going to be matched. You will never do it in this era. The one and done players, all those things, you will never be able to replicate the kind of success that UCLA has had. Of course, now we know they're just looking to try to get a decent coach, but never forget what UCLA did. They got that streak started on this day. Hey, if you'd like to contact the show, I don't know, maybe let us know your favorite college hoops team of all time. We would love to hear from you. Hit us up on email, dailydosports@gmail.com, or go find us over on Facebook or Twitter. Both of those handles are at dailydosports. Maybe you've got some feedback for the show. Maybe you have a suggestion for the show. Maybe you need a little advice. Reach out to us. We would love to hear from you. Also, you should probably be stopping by tpublic.com, where you can pick up some Daily Dose gear for the people in your life or for yourself. tpublic.com doesn't just have t-shirts. They've got hoodies, sweatshirts, laptop covers, stickers. They've got a ton of Daily Dose gear over there. Just type Daily Dose gear into the search box. Scroll down until you see our logo, and there you will find a number of Daily Dose items. So make sure you stop by tpublic.com. Hey, today on the show, of course, we are going to be taking a look at a few of the top sports news stories coming out. But then we are going to be continuing our conversation with longtime friend of the show, Larry from Centennial, as we are recapping the 2018 NFL season. We are looking at each team, kind of seeing how they did, kind of seeing what they have to look forward to, and then we are getting ready for Super Bowl 53 this weekend. Got a number of things to get to today. But first, let's jump into a little bit of breaking news. You know, for all the talk about New England Patriots quarterback Tom Brady possibly playing his last game in Super Bowl 53, and by the way, I'm calling this right now. Brady is not retiring. Why in the world would Tom Brady retire? Remember when John Elway retired? Do you remember when, I don't know, Kurt Warner or Dan Marino or whoever, remember when they retired? What was the reason? Physically, I just can't do it anymore. I want to play. My mind is still sharp, but maybe it's my arm, maybe it's my knees, whatever physical ailment it might be. Physically, I can't do it anymore. Well, that's not the case with Tom Brady. And a big portion of that is because of the fact you're literally not even allowed to slap Tom Brady on his chest in this era in the NFL. So why would he retire? Anyways, Brady isn't going anywhere, but it does sound like Patriots tight end Rob Gronkowski is going to seriously consider his future after the Super Bowl. And we are also hearing that safety Devin McCourty, he's not ruling out the possibility that he might retire if the Patriots could beat the Rams in this Super Bowl on Sunday. Here's what McCourty had to say at Media Day. I don't know for sure, but I do look at it. If we can win this game, winning with my brother Jason, I don't know what else I could do that could top that. Hey, like I said, the Patriots aren't losing Brady, but they are going to look significantly different after this game. But you know what? Again, as much as we kind of want them to, I don't think they're falling off the cliff. This is where I have to give head coach Bill Belichick even more credit because the Patriots are still winning. This isn't the same personnel group just winning year after year. They've exchanged personnel groups 15 times from 2001 when they won their first one. Bill Belichick somehow keeps finding ways to win. He just gets new guys. He just plugs them in. They keep winning. Bill Belichick this season, as impressive as he has ever been. Finally, we do have one story coming out in the UFC, and this is huge news, folks. Yeah, you can go ahead and play that breaking news music because we have huge news in the UFC. The Nevada State Athletic Commission voted unanimously yesterday to suspend UFC stars Khabib Nurmagomedov and Conor McGregor for their respective roles in that post-fight melee back in October at UFC 229. The commission suspended Nurmagomedov for 9 months. They fined him $500,000, which means that he would be eligible to return on July 6th. They offered to reduce the suspension if he would participate in some anti-bullying campaign stuff. McGregor received a 6-month suspension and he was fined $50,000. He'll be eligible to fight as soon as April 6th. So they could conceivably have a rematch next October. Or they could just go somewhere else and have a fight. Also, not quite done, because UFC light heavyweight champion John Jones has also been cleared to compete in the state of Nevada. The Nevada State Athletic Commission voted unanimously in favor of granting Jones a one-fight conditional license on Tuesday, which will keep him eligible to compete, even if he tests positive for banned M3 steroid metabolite. And they're saying that they did this because, well, he already got punished for that. So that shouldn't count against him. He was already punished for that. That's just all lingering stuff. Sorry, did I say at the beginning that this is huge news? Yeah, I meant zero news whatsoever. This is horrible news. This isn't anything interesting whatsoever. And I'll tell you why. Because UFC came in originally and they said, hey, we're going to do things the right way. We're going to give you the fights you want to see. We're going to have good fights consistently. We're going to make our fighters fight and do what's right and stay clean and come in and give a good product every single week. We're going to have great fights. Yeah, that's not what's happening here. We're just seeing the same old stuff that we saw in boxing. Great to see UFC is just starting to resemble its filthy cousin boxing a little more every single day. It's exactly what they're doing. This is the same kind of garbage we would see in boxing. Hey, the Nevada State Athletic Commission banned Mike Tyson. Okay, go fight in Tokyo. Who cares? Nobody cares about this nonsense. They just go do whatever they want. Once again, the fighters are doing whatever they want. There's no governing board. We keep hearing about Dana White and UFC. Dana White doesn't care. He just wants to make money. Dana White, Don King, I don't know. Is it really that different? It's kind of the same person. Hey, coming back, we are going to continue our conversation with our longtime friend, Larry from Centennial. We were looking at the 2018 NFL season. We've still got a lot to get to today on The Dose. So yesterday, we began our conversation with longtime friend of the show, Larry, who comes in every year, and we always do our NFL preview in the fall. Well, we thought this year, now that the season is almost over, we could take a look back and see how teams finished up. See how they came in according to their expectations. See what they're looking forward to next. Yesterday, we discussed a few of the biggest storylines from the season. And then we did look back at the NFC East. Today, we are going to continue that conversation. We are going to jump in right now to the AFC East. We're going to move on to the AFC East. Larry, we keep waiting for the New England Patriots to fall off the cliff, but it's not happening.
No.
Of course, the Patriots are in the Super Bowl now for the fourth time in the past 5 seasons. And honestly, they didn't look that impressive during the regular season, but as usual, they find their magic in the postseason. We're going to talk about them more, obviously, when we get to our Super Bowl preview, but Belichick and Brady just keep winning. I am going to throw out this caveat, though. It does help that they play in that AFC East a whole lot, doesn't it?
I'm looking at the division, and nothing has changed.
Nope.
And nothing, it's been this
in
way for a long time.
15 years.
So when you get 6 easy wins,
yep,
and I'll call them easy, right? People in Miami and Buffalo and New York can argue with me all they want, but those are easy wins.
No other team even finished above 500 in that division.
Easy.
So it, yes, like you said, they're easy wins.
Easy wins. That helps you rest players, do whatever in this day and age, right? In the old days, it was like, metal meets metal, you know. Right, but right. But if you can rest players and,
oh, yeah,
and not have to go all out, which, believe me, they don't have to do in that division.
No, they don't. They can coast.
They get wins, and those are gimmies. So
yeah,
Patriots are. It doesn't look like anything's changing either.
No.
Right.
No, in fact, it might be getting worse in the AFC East, because let's move past the Patriots. Well, let's go to the next team in line. The Miami Dolphins, who are 7-9.
Fired their coach.
They had another below average year. They fire Adam Gase, and it sounds like they're going to go get Patriots defensive coordinator Brian Flores. We'll see. That's what management is at least saying. But management is also talking about maybe they are looking at, they don't want to say tanking, but we might kind of take a year off because we're really looking at getting a quarterback in 2020.
Right.
Here's the question that I have for you, Larry. Let's say this next year in 2019, the Dolphins tank. How would we tell? I don't see how we're going to be able to notice that.
No, good point.
Miami, you went into the season with Ryan Tannehill and Brock Osweiler and thought, what could go wrong?
Well, we're set up here.
We're totally ready. We're ready for an NFL season. We're going to contend. No, you're not. And they finished second.
Right.
We haven't gotten to the bad teams yet in the division. They finished second. That's amazing. They went 7-9.
God.
That's where we're at in the AFC East. The next team down, we're just going to skip the Miami Dolphins. I have nothing more to say about
them.
The Buffalo Bills were 6-10, and I'm going to be honest. The Buffalo Bills, they were mildly better than I thought they'd be at 6-10. Because I thought 3-13, 2-14, that's where I thought they were going to be. At the end of it, they were 6-10. The defense was a little bit better. It was just that I expected nothing and I got next to nothing. So I was like, it's a little bit better. I don't know what to think of rookie quarterback Josh Allen, though.
But he's a rookie quarterback. So you have no idea what's going to happen.
He ran better than he threw.
That's
he
right.
He was the Buffalo Bills leading rusher.
That's ridiculous.
He had 600 yards rushing. I'm sure that'll last in the NFL. I'm sure that won't ever come back to haunt him.
And he does not have a concussion to end the season.
No, yet. So,
yeah.
It's coming. It's coming quickly. He'll end up getting killed eventually.
Oh, God. He's running for his life out there. Yeah.
But he had 10 touchdowns. He had 12 interceptions. In this era,
you
don't see that.
No.
You don't see.
That's kind of crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, it's kind of backward. He only threw for 2,000 yards, but he rushed for 600 and some yards.
Yeah, yeah. Rookie season.
Yeah, the Buffalo Bills, I'm not sure what to make of them. They don't have a ton of skill position players. Defense is scrappy. I'll give them that. Other than that, I don't have a whole lot for the Bills.
No.
And they weren't the worst team in the division because we still have the New York Jets, a team that I was disappointed in. I didn't think they would be a contender. But I thought maybe they would be competitive. I thought maybe they could battle a little. They really didn't. And I'm still not sure what to think of rookie quarterback Sam Darnold. But even worse, as bad as the season was, we're going to drain a little bit more out of the pool because they fire head coach Todd Bowles.
Right.
They go hire Miami head coach Adam Gase to fix Sam Darnold. He couldn't fix Ryan Tannehill. Why would we think this is going to help?
So the only thing I'd say is that Tannehill was hurt, right?
And a lot.
And I don't know that Tannehill was a great quarterback, but Gase didn't really have a chance to work with him. The guy was hurt all the time.
Yeah.
So I think there's probably an element of hope there for New York. As far as the rest of the team, you know, forget it. We saw the Jets, of course.
Yes.
And
unfortunately,
I think that was kind of the pinnacle.
Yeah.
Right. Of the season for them.
Yeah.
And especially their run game. But other than that, over the course of the season, they got nothing. They're in that division. They're in a head coaching change. You know, a lot of transition. They do have a rookie quarterback. I think Darnold will be okay. You know, and you always have to give those guys a couple of years to figure things out.
Right.
The hard part though is having to figure that out as a rookie quarterback on a team that just doesn't have a lot of resources. Right.
Right.
So I feel bad for the guy. Yeah. But, you know, they're not going anywhere. you know,
not anytime soon. They just, like you talked about before, there's so many holes to fill.
Yeah.
Where do you even focus? Because there's just a ton of things you got to fix. I expected the defense to maybe be a little better this year. They weren't very good at all.
Right.
And we know with a rookie quarterback, you're going to struggle here and there. They don't have a ton of skill positions. The Jets just have a ton of work to do.
Yeah.
Hey, like we talk about, the AFC East is just not very good. Yeah, it is a mess. Let's move on to the NFC North, and maybe one of the best surprises of the league, the Chicago Bears win the NFC North with a 12-4 record. Hey, they rode that very talented defense, and they got enough from quarterback Mitch Trubisky. They go to the playoffs. They did lose in the wild card round of Philadelphia, but if they had a kicker, they might still be playing.
How many goalposts did that guy
hit
this?
Bing.
Like, if he was getting paid to hit goalposts.
Oh, man.
He'd be in the money.
Yes, he would.
Yeah. Bears were great. They were
entertaining.
They were fun to watch. They've got some good talent on offense. Trubisky, I think, has another season under his belt. So going into next year, I think there's a lot of optimism, you know,
for
the Bears, and the defense, yeah, is good. Of course, they lost the coach. We'll see how that affects them.
Yeah, because Vic Fangio he's the defensive coordinator. He takes the head coaching job in Denver. Chuck Pagano takes over that job. Pagano has a history of at least being a decent defensive coordinator, so maybe they can keep that up. Hey, they have some talent on that side of the ball.
Yeah, they do.
And somehow they found this cast off nobody Khalil Mack. I don't know how they managed that deal, but
dropped into their lap.
Yeah, he just fell into their lap out of the sky, and suddenly, hey, this guy's really good. This is really weird, but he's really good. No, the Bears had a nice season. If they had a kicker, they would. Here's a question for you that I've got for you. What do you do with that kicker? He goes out and he clanks, hits two posts in one kick.
Yeah.
And then he's on the Today Show getting a pretend award or whatever he was doing, because in this country right now, we just love giving out hugs. Would you cut him?
No, I wouldn't cut him.
Oh, cutting him yesterday.
You remember McManus was pretty close too, right?
Yeah, and but he wasn't on the Today Show.
No.
That's my beef. I have no problem with him missing, because misses happen.
But he was pretty close.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, they cut him. And they brought him back. They brought in, you know, kind of a sub. So I get that.
Yeah.
What I don't get is you do an immediate tour after you clank that kick.
You
go out and you practice your kicking, young man.
Yeah, yeah. But you know they don't do that.
No, they don't.
They're never going to do that. And kickers, you know, that's always a funny subject, right? Because why leave it up to the kicker, right? Isn't that always the thing?
Sure.
Right?
Yeah, if you're leaving leave it up to the refs. Don't leave it up to the kicker.
If you're leaving it up to the kicker, then
good call.
But when you have a good kicker, it really helps.
Oh, it's definitely, you're playing with house money there.
I guess my question is, even why the hell did they get rid of Robbie Gould?
No one knows. I still haven't figured that out.
That guy's making, I don't know who he's playing for, he's
very,
still,
very good.
Yeah.
I don't know what that was. I don't know if that was an attitude thing. I don't know what that was.
Like, he was awesome.
You had a good kicker and you got rid of him.
Yeah.
That has to be a money decision.
He made a lot of clutch kicks for Chicago. Well, so that, there you go. If it's a money deal,
then our front office is to blame.
Are you happy now?
Right.
You know?
Hey, you saved a few bucks though.
Right. It's ridiculous.
Hooray.
Yeah.
We're going to go from one of the biggest surprises in the league in the Chicago Bears to one of the biggest disappointments of the year in the Minnesota Vikings. The Vikings went out. They signed quarterback Kirk Cousins to $84 million guaranteed. Not a contract that, hey, we'll just cut out of this contract. We'll get rid of him and that'll be the end of it. No, guaranteed money. And it was a Super Bowl win or bust kind of year. The Vikings didn't even make the playoffs.
Yeah.
It wasn't all Kirk Cousins' fault.
No.
The defense was bad. They allowed over 20 points a game, but you're still stuck with that contract.
They failed as a team.
Yes, they did.
And you know, I guess we're looking forward to next year, is all the Vikings can say.
What else can you do?
Nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing.
But Cousins was such a disappointment. They couldn't score when they had to.
Yep.
They couldn't get stops when they had to.
Yep.
To not make the playoffs. I mean, we talked about them prior to the season. They were a team that on paper, with that defense, if the defense could come back and be as good as they were, the Vikings should have been in the hunt.
Yeah.
They couldn't even make the postseason.
Yeah. After last year with Keenum.
Jeez.
Yeah. I mean, they were primed. Everybody in that town, in that state, was ready. You know, for
this
for,
is finally going to be it.
Yep, and it just wasn't it. Didn't happen.
Rough year for the Minnesota Vikings. I feel bad for those fans up there because they have been dying for something to cheer for.
Yeah.
And they didn't get it this year.
No, they didn't.
That was rough. They go 8-7-1. They finished second, but it didn't feel like second. It felt like last. Next up on our list in the NFC North, we have another season and another year of quarterback Aaron Rodgers being banged up and another year of the Green Bay Packers sucking. They finished 6-9-1 on the year. They fired head coach Mike McCarthy. They went and hired Tennessee Titans offensive coordinator Matt LaFleur, who made the Titans offense worse than it was. I don't know how you get that job. I don't know what it was he did or who he knows, or I don't know how that works. What could possibly go wrong there, right?
Yeah, that's kind of it. Generally speaking, coaching hires amaze me.
Oh, this year is the most mind-blowing year I've ever seen in NFL football.
Right, right. So that aside, we'll see. I mean, you know, the Packers have been one of those teams that, well, not one of those, they've been the team who's kind of always been in it, right? You can always count.
You always expect them to be there.
You can always count on Aaron Rodgers pulling out the win at the last minute. And they've had, you know, good teams. They were not good this year. And
no,
of course, Rodgers was banged up. Everybody worried about his knee for the first half of the season. But they didn't produce. And I guess we'll find out if that, young coaching hire, you know, is what everybody thinks, you know, the trend is. And we heard about bad blood with Rodgers and maybe, McCarthy, you know, not being on the same page. Again, those are kind of smoke signals in terms of, you know, maybe the team isn't as good as everybody thought it was to begin with.
Right? I look at that team and I say, name one other player besides Rodgers.
Yeah.
And they it's really tough. They had Jimmy Graham this year, but that was it.
They're running back.
Nobody. They got a wide receiver playing running back.
Right. Exactly.
It's so weird. Yeah. You know what else is weird? Mike McCarthy didn't get a job. That's right. Weird. Now, maybe he's selective. Maybe said, none of those are a good fit and I've got to do what's best for me or whatever. But I can't believe he didn't get a job. That surprised me a little bit.
Yeah. You know, and people are kind of giving him a kind of a bad rap as, you know, not being able to do more with what he had.
Right.
I'm not sure he had that much.
See, that's where I'm at. I'm not sure either.
He had a quarterback, right? And I get that the quarterback is the, you know, you have to have that to do much of anything. But if that's all you have and you don't really have that much else, then
you end up with Dan Marino. Yeah. And you never win anything.
Right.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of where we're at with Green Bay. And as much as we love Aaron Rodgers, and the guy is amazingly skilled, man, it's tough to do it on your own.
Yeah.
And he can't do it on his own.
Nope.
Yeah, that's tough. Bringing up the rear of the NFC North, and honestly, at this point, it's like clockwork.
Yeah.
We have the Lions. They hired New England Patriots defensive coordinator Matt Patricia last year.
Yeah.
But nothing really changed.
It didn't look like it.
Everything looked exactly the same.
Well, and so give the guy a year, right? So there's no program that gets turned around instantaneously.
No, that's 100% true.
I'm a firm believer of that.
Yeah, and, I agree with you.
You know, if coaches who get 2 years, and Vance Joseph included, it's hard. Virtually impossible. So for any coach that doesn't turn it around in a year and the pressure's on him, I'd say – are you in it for the short term or the long term, right?
Well, now the Lions fired their offense coordinator, Jim Bob Cooter. At least they're not going to renew him. They go get Seahawks offense coordinator, Daryl Bevel.
Oh, is that where he landed?
Bevel's going to be in Detroit now. You wonder if maybe he could get Stafford going because there is some talent up there, but there's something missing. There's something not right with that whole situation.
So even when the Broncos were looking for coaching, Daryl Bevel is a great coach.
He's very good.
He has been blackballed for one call.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
He is a very good coach. I don't know why he was out of the league. He wasn't coaching last year.
No.
And I have no idea why. So I'll be excited to watch the Lions and see if anything changes there because he's a difference maker.
Yeah. And he certainly should be. We've seen him have success everywhere that he's been. Biggest game of the year, biggest game in the world. He doesn't hand it to Marshawn Lynch and whatever. He tried out smart people, and I get it.
Yeah.
But you would think Hey, Stafford has tools. And one thing I will give him, under Jim Bob Cooter, we started to see Matt Stafford look like maybe he's starting to figure this thing out. He was starting to put up numbers. Now, the team around him isn't helping him, but he was starting to put up numbers by himself on his own. That had to be at least encouraging, because you go, hey, if we can at least put some people around him, if we give him a defense, maybe the Lions could turn this thing around.
Yeah. As far as the Lions go, you kind of have to look at that team and say, hey, what are they spending their money on?
Right. Where is it going?
Right.
It's just going to Stafford and that's it. He's the only guy on the team.
Because they let Golden Tate go.
Yeah.
Megatron's gone.
Long gone.
There isn't a running back to.
Rookie. They got the kid out at Auburn.
Kerryon
Johnson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There isn't.
You're right. So where is the money going?
So where's the money going? And they have to spend money, right? It's like they have to.
I've got a theory.
The cheerleaders?
Matt Patricia's eating the money. Have you seen him?
No, but
he looks like a human bowling ball. He is as wide as he is tall. And I don't know. I'm just saying we should check. We should look into these things because there's money disappearing apparently, and he just keeps getting bigger. He is a big, big man. And with that.
They've only showed shots of him and his beard.
He's got a big beard.
That's it. And the pencil in his ear, you know.
So. I would think that you could probably feed a small village with what's left in his beard.
if you're going to take a soccer team on a plane over the Andes, you want to make sure Matt Patricia's on it. Because
nobody's going hungry.
Nobody's going. That thing will last.
That'll last you a good
That'll last
month.
Till springtime. The thaw. That'll last till the thaw.
This show's going off the rails rapidly.
You just have to bring a really strong pair of scissors.
Right. As long as you can clip that stuff out, you're going to be well fed for months. Nothing to worry about. You're going to be just fine.
Oh,
all right. God. That is our recap of the NFC North. Okay. Let's move on to the AFC North. The AFC North was a weird, weird division this year in the NFL. The Baltimore Ravens, they win the division. They had a bizarre season. They had the league's best defense for most of the year. They started off the season, though, 4-5. Then they win 6 of their last games when quarterback Joe Flacco goes out with the injury. They put in the rookie Lamar Jackson. I still don't know if this kid can throw it at an NFL level, but they ran and ran and ran the football. The Ravens go to the playoffs. Yes, they got beat by the Chargers in the wild card round, but the Ravens had, I guess, a good year, didn't they?
Yeah. For what happened to them? Absolutely. I mean, you are not complaining if you're a Ravens fan. First of all, you would call the season successful. And then you found out about your rookie quarterback.
Right. Which you needed to do anyways.
Yeah. So good. It's good. We'll talk about the Steelers shortly, but
the
Ravens were not, you know, I don't think anybody expected them to win the division this year.
No, maybe contend a little bit for a wild card or something like that. Not win the division. I don't think anybody looked at it like that, especially if they lost Joe Flacco. Hey, Flacco's out. I think everyone would have said, well, then your season's probably over.
Right. Exactly. To get an extended look and not really even a look. I mean, he played.
Yeah.
I don't know how
many
games.
And won games.
Yeah.
I don't know how he's winning games, and some of it was a soft schedule.
Yeah,
but
to your point, we still don't know if he can throw the ball, you know, to a receiver. But
he has a big arm. It's just not always that accurate.
Yeah. 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 Exactly.
No, the Ravens have to feel good about their season, I think. I know there was talk about John Harbaugh getting fired. That obviously didn't happen because he kind of rallied the troops toward the end, and they pulled together. They make the postseason.
He did. He certainly did. You know, he's a good coach. He's one of those guys who's had to, I don't know how much control he has over picking the talent.
Right. Well, and he's had it made because he has had Ozzie Newsome back there picking such good talent. But now Ozzie's on his way out and that's done. We're going to see how good the Ravens really are.
Yeah. And Ozzie Newsome has a great reputation for that. But, you know, to be honest with you, they're hamstrung with Flacco's contract.
Big time.
They do have talent, but you would expect that they would be better than they are. I think.
Yeah. You know? Well, because when you look at, if you've got your quarterback supposedly. If you've got your quarterback, your franchise guy in Joe Flacco, then okay, we fill out a few other spots and we should be right there. They just paid so much for Flacco.
It just goes to show you, yeah, exactly how much money you have to pay one guy.
Yeah.
And if that doesn't work out, then, you know, it's not going to work out.
No, and it tips the balance all over the place. It just messes everything up, the rest of your team. You just can't get things quite like they should be. Let's move on to the second place team. And another contender for the biggest disappointment of the year. You just talked about them, the Pittsburgh Steelers. They had the most talent on paper in the AFC, but running back Le'Veon Bell just sits out the year. He doesn't want to play. Quarterback Ben Roethlisberger, he's starting to show signs. I don't know, maybe he's taking too many shots. And now you have wide receiver Antonio Brown, who literally quits on the team, says he wants to be traded. As bad as I feel about my own team, most every team in the league should feel better after watching the Pittsburgh Steelers. Mike Tomlin, that dude seems to have zero control over his locker room, and the Pittsburgh Steelers are a mess, and it doesn't make any sense.
So he's one of those coaches that has gotten a pass, and they're loaded with talent. He cannot control the locker room, to your point. You know, I don't know what's going on there, but maybe he's a hands-off kind of coach, but they have issues. And if things aren't going, so here's the deal. If things aren't going well, they go from bad to worse really, really quick in Pittsburgh. Like, there's no kind of middle ground. And I think that's what we're seeing. You know, I don't blame Tomlin for Le'Veon Bell's
That's deal. A money situation and whatever. Yeah, right. That's not on him.
And, you know, we've heard and read about what's going on with Antonio Brown. He probably absolutely could have handled that, you know, better. But ultimately, you have to kind of take a step back and say, are we looking at the Pittsburgh Steelers' reputation? And that's why we thought they would be better than they are.
Yeah.
You know, Roethlisberger is, I don't know how old he is, but he's one of the older quarterbacks. Yeah. So
he's taken so many hits.
Yeah, he sure has.
You know, one of the things I wonder, when we look at this Pittsburgh Steelers team, there are certain teams that we look back at. We look back at like the mid-90s Philadelphia Eagles. Why didn't they win? We look back at the early 80s San Diego Chargers. Why didn't they win? Like, right. they were loaded. I think we're going to look at these Pittsburgh Steelers and say, why in the world weren't you winning?
Right.
You are stacked with talent, and you never did anything with it. Right. It doesn't make any sense. But I think we are going to look at this Steelers team and say, what could have been?
Yeah, there is no doubt. So for the last couple of years, they have been what every other team would probably want, you know, in terms of talent, coaching, everything. They have been there. They have set themselves up for success
for
and,
sure.
And they did not. They didn't.
They have nothing. To
they
show
didn't
for.
Deliver.
No,
nothing. They'll never be in this position again, right?
I mean, wouldn't think so.
You know, I'm just loaded. Generalizing. Yeah. But you know, it's hard to get a team with all the talent and all the coaching.
Right.
Everything, you know, all the stars are aligned for them. Yeah. That doesn't happen all the time.
No.
So.
No, I think they definitely missed it. And that's too bad because you've got to feel like there was so much talent here. We have to win something. They haven't really won.
Right. And the cracks are showing now.
Yeah.
Right? So.
Yeah. Because now what do you do with Antonio Brown? Well, I mean, do you ship him out and say forget it?
Yeah.
The way he quit on his teammates, the way he quit on that franchise, you got to dump him.
Unless there's some sort of reconciliation that, you know, that where they can come together and everybody's happy. But how many times is anybody really happy after something like that?
Right.
You know, so for me, you got to figure it out. You got to move on and get what you can for him.
Right. And the bad thing is, that's a great point, because what can you get for him? Because if I'm an opposing team, I'm going, well, I'm not giving you anything for him. He's a punk.
Well, the only.
And we know that you're over a barrel.
The only thing you do is you, you know, if there's a team that's hungry and they think he's the missing piece, you don't want anybody out bidding you for him.
Yeah.
So you trade for him.
Larry, so help me if he comes to Denver.
No, I've heard that. And I have to believe that our management is smarter than that.
Well, he's not a 6'8" quarterback, so I'm going to go with you on that. Because if he was, By God, we'd be signing him yesterday.
Then we'd be in trouble. Yeah, no doubt.
God, Pittsburgh.
But we already have one of those, right? So we've got Emmanuel Sanders. We've got an Antonio Brown. There's not a lot of difference between Antonio Brown and Emmanuel Sanders.
I wouldn't think so.
Except for the guy throwing the ball. So let's
that helps a lot.
Kind of take care of that first.
Yeah, let's worry about that part.
And not think that our problem is the guy catching the ball.
Yeah, let's make sure the guy that is throwing it can get him the ball.
Right.
Yeah, for sure. Next team up, third place in the AFC North this year. They finished at 7-8-1. Hey, the Cleveland Browns started off the year 2-6-1. Then they fire head coach Hugh Jackson. They give the job to interim head coach Greg Williams. They win 5 of their last 7. Baker Mayfield, he just might be the guy. He just might be the next stud quarterback.
The infamous Greg Williams. Coaching the Cleveland Browns, which they haven't made a final coaching decision yet, have they?
Yeah. They went and got Freddie Kitchens now. They did hire Freddie Kitchens. The catch on Kitchens though, right?
Who?
Kitchens has like 1 year of quarterback coaching experience. He has no experience. They give him the head coaching job. This is either going to be one of the dumbest hires ever. Or we're going to look back and say, wow, they really found a diamond in the rough.
Freddie Kitchens?
Yes. He played quarterback at Alabama. I don't know if you remember that, but he played a little quarterback at Alabama. He was the quarterback's coach this year.
Yeah.
And then they moved him up to offensive coordinator. And then they moved him up to head freaking coach.
So I don't have anything against Freddie Kitchens.
Per se.
You know, how do you have any confidence in any decision made within the Cleveland organization?
Well, it's funny because you have these teams, and we'll look at the Pittsburgh Steelers as a prime example, because they're getting everything wrong right now. But I will say this about their ownership. They put their people in charge and they say, you guys do your jobs, we'll do our jobs. The Cleveland Browns are almost the exact opposite.
Right.
They say, okay, we're going to hire you, but we're going to also do your job, or at least tell you how to do your job, and we won't really do a very good job on our job either.
Yeah.
We'll kind of just screw everything up. One has a history of success, one doesn't, and it doesn't take a genius to figure out which is which.
Cleveland is a hot mess, right?
Always are, and I think they're getting better, but they're always a mess, and they shouldn't be.
Well, they might – so getting better meaning they have more talent.
Yes.
Right. And
not necessarily getting better.
Right.
Good point. Excellent point.
And that is a product of drafting, you know, in the top 5 every year. Year after year after year. Like, should we be surprised, right, that they're like on the field play is better? Like, just
you have talent.
Gathering, like,
you've been getting the top pick in the draft for the last 15 years. You ought to get somebody good at some point.
Right. So, you know, the Cleveland Browns and the Raiders.
Yeah. You have pick after pick.
Should, like, really be good on the field.
Should be.
Yeah. I guess it's good to see the Browns win a few games.
I would love to see the Browns get back to actual prominence again. Like, just be relevant again. I think that's a good thing. Here is my concern for the Cleveland Browns. You watch, and you know this is going to happen. Going into this next season, we're going to start hearing silly things like the Browns, they might be a Super Bowl contender. We're going to start hearing it. It's going to come. You heard it here first, but I promise you, it's coming. It is all fun and games when you're not expected to beat the Denver Broncos in week 15 or whatever that was.
Right.
It's very, very different when they say, hey, you have the Steelers this week and you're favored. Go win.
Here's the deal in this division, though, right? So we've just talked about the Ravens and the Steelers.
Yeah.
The Browns are not – they're in there. Like,
they're in the mix.
I don't necessarily I wouldn't put it out of the realm of you know.
No, they could win this division.
Conception that,
this division is winnable.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
I don't know if it's winnable by them, but it's winnable by somebody. No.
Flacco gone next year.
Yes.
Jackson taken over.
Who knows?
8-8.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Steelers 8-8. Browns 8-8.
8-8. Bengals 4-12, but hey, but that's not the
that's not the point.
That's not the point.
But yeah, so
yeah, so you're in the thick of it.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Just is what it is.
Yeah.
Expectations do weird things to teams, especially young teams that don't quite understand what it takes to win.
Right, and that's true. but I think they got the right guy. Like Baker Mayfield looks
like. Oh, I like Mayfield a lot.
Yeah. He'll put that team on his shoulders.
You would certainly think so.
He will. Now, he won't always be, you know, they won't win all the games.
No.
But he will put that team on his shoulders and he will carry them as far as they will go.
Yeah.
And he's the right guy for that.
Finally, we finish off the last team in the NFC or in the AFC North with the Cincinnati Bengals. The bad news for the Bengals.
The bad news.
I'm going to give you the bad news first. Are you ready?
There's good news.
Yeah, I got good news for you. All right. Here's the bad news. The bad news, they underachieved again after a pretty decent start. The good news, they finally fired head coach Marvin Lewis. Didn't it seem like every single year under Marvin Lewis, they underachieved?
Yeah.
Every single year.
It may feel like good news right now, but who's the head coach?
They are saying that they're probably going to be hiring Rams quarterback coach Zach Taylor.
Right.
And I think it's because he knows Sean McVay.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's a good coach, but he knows him.
They shared a urinal one time,
and they've had breakfast a few times.
Yeah, so we'll see if that's good news. Because, you know, Marvin Lewis may be the best thing that ever happened to Cincinnati. We just don't know. We don't know.
They were horrible before him. They've been horrible sometimes after him.
Yeah.
We don't know.
Hey, man, it's application of resources. I think Marvin Lewis was probably a pretty good coach. But if you don't... And you're not invested as a ownership in like the success and the goal isn't to win the Super Bowl, then you let a coach for how many years did Marvin Lewis coach?
Yeah, 10, 12, probably.
Without a playoff win, and that's acceptable?
Yes.
Then that's acceptable.
Right.
That's what happens.
Yeah, that's what you get.
It's not Marvin Lewis's fault.
No.
Right?
You were the one letting him do it.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
no, that's a weird situation.
They're 6-10, and we don't care about them.
No, we don't. Hey, tomorrow on the show, we need to continue this conversation with Larry, finish up our NFL team-by-team recap of the 2018 season. Plus, we do still need to get to our Super Bowl 53 predictions. Got a lot to still get to this week on The Dose. Have to say thank you all so much for listening to and for sharing the show. Thank you for the emails, the texts, and the tweets. Don't forget to stop by tpublic.com and pick up some of that Daily Dose gear you know you need. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all tomorrow. Have a great Wednesday.